America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 55. My name's Turner Sparks.
My name is Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner B. Sparks on Twitter. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America, K-A-P Kaplan. On the podcast today, we have Anthony DeVito, stand-up comedian. Anthony DeVito.
Danny DeVito's something?
I believe that's what everyone says.
No, so I'm not going to say it to him, so I'm asking you.
I don't think he has any relation to him.
Well, I would be telling girls I was related to him if I
It would be a
position.
Good move.
Yes. That's
Especially,
beautiful.
I believe he's single, but we'll find out
right.
when he
well,
comes on here.
Use the old DeVito move with the ladies.
The old DeVito. Give him the DeVito.
You know, I tell the girls
that's
way
that better than the Harv.
Well, I go with the Kaplan, the SAT what? Course, Kaplan.
Oh,
you
should
see,
that.
I dominate the high school girls. I did. Anyway.
He was just on Stephen Colbert's show, on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Oh, nice.
He also lived in Paris for a year earlier in his life. I think he just gave up America, went to Paris.
Haven't we all given up America and lived in Paris?
I mean, I did that for 12 years.
Right.
So he did it for one. He's going to tell us all about it.
You lived in the Paris of China.
It was the Venice of Asia, but close enough.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Paris, Venice.
Suzhou. So he's coming on in a minute. He's a fantastic comedian. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk to him. Before that.
We got some big stuff to talk about first.
We got a bone to pick with our listeners.
Big bones.
Amazon. We have been pumping this since day 11. I don't know what episode. Yeah. Amazon, all we're asking you to do, if you're going to shop on Amazon, before you do that, go to lostinamericapod.com, click the banner, click the advertisement at the top right-hand corner of our website. That'll take you back to Amazon. Do your regular shopping. Cap, we have somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 listeners. Can you guess how many so far this month have done that, have helped us out by clicking the app, the link?
I mean, I'm going to say Amazon's pretty big, a third, 500 people.
Zero.
Zero.
We've literally had zero of you freeloading listeners.
Oh my God.
Zero have That's helped us. All we're asking is if 100 of you do this, we're millionaires.
If 100 do it, we become millionaires?
We're thousandaires.
I'm doing the math in my head. It makes sense.
If I get to keep all of it.
Yeah.
Then we'll make like roughly $1,000. If you just do that, literally, that's all you have to do. We're not asking you to donate money to us. We're just asking you to click that link. Come on, you piece
of
crap.
Yeah, think of it this way. Otherwise, I'm going to end up getting divorced because I'm going to yell at Randy Kaplan for using the PTA link,
which
has stopped making us money.
Exactly.
I mean, it's my own
Randy
money.
Randy Kaplan ditched the podcast and started giving to the PTA. None of you are doing anything for it.
Save the Kaplan home. Give us money.
Not only
go
that,
on Amazon.
Save this podcast.
And save this podcast.
But I'm not going to keep doing this for free.
Yeah, he's out. He's going to walk.
I'm going to walk. I'm going to quit comedy.
He's going to quit comedy.
You're going
to take your talents to where?
I'll be a real estate broker in Northern California.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't sell people on this Amazon link, I don't know how many apartments you're going to be selling.
That's true. Yeah, I'll be a failing real estate lawyer. All right. Anything else we need to talk about?
Can I ask you one thing, please? Listeners out there?
Yes.
If anybody knows a nanny, I could use one.
You need a new nanny?
I need a new nanny. We're going to California. We're taking the podcast on the remote.
Big news. And next week, we're going to Cali.
And my nanny just told me she went back to her home country. She said she needed Monday off. I said, when are you going to be back? She's like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to take care of some business. Her home country's Guyana.
Guyana?
So she's in Guyana.
That's a long trip.
She's taking care of business. I don't know what that means. I don't know. You tell me. What does that mean? I don't know.
I don't know. Going to...
Is
there a civil war happening? I don't know what's going on. I haven't kept up with the news.
So I need to find Nanny the next couple days. Listeners know anybody, send them our way. Tweet
me. All right. Sounds good. That's it. Cap, should we get to Lost in America?
Let's get to it. Play the music.
Play the freaking music.
Lost.
right, we're back. Kaplan, I'm lost this week. I've been lost multiple weeks in a row. This week, extremely lost. My brother came up last week, and he visited. We're walking around Manhattan. He's also Tyler Sparks, recent podcast.
Agent Babyface.
Agent Babyface for the fans out there. He's lived abroad for a long time. I lived abroad for a long time. There's now is this viral video going around talking about, you've probably seen it. It's like, hey, if you, it's supposed to show the idea of a white privilege, what white privilege is in America, right? And the idea is like, hey, if you're white, take one step forward. Everyone's standing on a line.
Okay.
And then if you're white and you grew up in whatever area of America, take two more steps forward.
Allentown, PA.
Yeah. And by the end of it, the white people are way in front and the non-white people, everyone else is way behind, right? So this leads to my question. I've seen white homeless people all over New York.
Are you saying they don't have white privilege?
No, I'm saying they do, and they're not taking advantage of it. Is it wrong for me to give money to them? I do not give money to them, so don't worry. Don't come after me, liberal media. But is it wrong? I feel like I should not give money to white homeless people. Is that correct?
Well, I think you should be what's the word? You should affirmative action on your. You're saying you should still give to them,
but less.
But give them less.
Pennies
and make
on
a
the
note
dollar.
Of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I think you do, and I think you got to do it by. But also, there's I think if there's a certain disabled white, like, homeless guy.
I agree, but a lot of these are, like young, able-bodied white Americans.
Like those backpacker guys?
Yes. I feel like no money.
They follow you around. I don't know. They think you're a mark. They see you're really white. They think you'll give to them.
I see them everywhere.
I don't give to any homeless, ever.
So you're the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, well, I do give to, like, if people are, like, good, like, not annoying entertainers, but good entertainers.
Yes.
And I'm, like, biased, so those guys usually are black. I usually enjoy the black guys.
Yeah.
Because, like, what music would, like, a white homeless guy sing on the subway that
There's
I would...
There's no white break dancers.
Or, like, they do, like, the soul music or, like, the a cappella kind of thing where it's, like...
And I'm like guys. Those old, like, the old guys.
The old guys. I love the old guys. And I imagine some old white guys.
Yeah,
what would
that
they
would
sing?
Terrible.
What song? The country?
What about... Ooh, you know who I do? What about the Chinese guy playing, like, the arhu, playing the old Chinese instrument in Chinatown? Do you see him?
I don't go to Chinatown.
Oh, you racist.
I want to stay fresh for the pod. I want to stay clueless. Yeah. I don't want to be...
I give to that guy. Okay, so what you're saying is do not give... It's ignoring white privilege to give to white homeless.
If you don't want to give money, this is a really good way out of it, is to be like, well, I'm not going to give to white people. Now,
good
women, though, this is the thing.
White women?
To white women. Where are the white women homeless? Because there are white women who are beggars. A lot of times they say, like, they have a kid or they're out. You've seen them. What do you do with them?
Does it depend on if they're attractive or not?
Right. Well, I mean, you're saying I don't want to say it, but, like, it's probably not attractive, right? Because it's hard to be attractive homeless.
Not a lot of hot homeless on either, men or women.
Yeah. Well, the guys could be crazy, you know.
Oh, but crazy hot?
Crazy. No, they could be crazy in the head, like bipolar or something, schizophrenic. Oh. That's why they're homeless. Women
can be crazy.
Well, you can be crazy, but of course they can. But then
women are crazy. Haven't you watched any comedy?
They can still find a guy, is what I'm saying.
Ever?
Even if they're crazy, they find a guy. They're not homeless.
Oh, you're right.
But they can find a job.
They blend in.
I mean, every hostess job, you could find it. You know, it's not hard to put a person into.
If she's attractive.
If you're attractive, yeah. So I never give to them because I always think they're more full of shit. Because I'm like, well.
Oh, the white, the women, homeless, hot women.
Yeah. Well, I would get moderately attracted that hot, but I'm like, there's no way this is a con artist.
Hot on the homeless scale.
Yeah.
Eight homeless.
Yeah, like, and then sometimes they do like a more of a story. They always have a convoluted story.
True.
So sometimes they get you because, like, there was this one woman I'm thinking of who had a story about her husband. He's abusive, and it was a very horrible story. And, you know, you want to, your heart, you're like, I'm going to give to anybody. I'm going to give this woman.
Yep.
But then when you see her on the subway 3 years later, and it's the same story. It's like, last week, my guy.
It's always last week. It's like back to comedy. It's like what comedians do. They're like, oh, today, my girlfriend broke up with me.
Right.
But they've been saying that for 3 years.
I know, which is great with a comedian, because you sort of know it's a joke. You sort of know it's part of the act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like 17 different things happened that day.
You're right. It's the same. I should hold comedians to the same standard I hold homeless people.
You should not give money to
white
comedians.
I'm going to freaking heckle comedians.
Hot women, female
comedians. Hot women comedians to tell me today their boyfriend dumped them. I'm just going to do the same thing where I ignore them the way I ignore people on the subway.
Well, I think we've solved
it. Did we solve anything?
I think we did.
White privilege.
I'm not going to give to white, because white privilege homeless also exists.
Yeah, my understanding of white privilege, this is kind of a new thing, by the way, the white privilege.
I'm playing catch up.
Yeah, that's a whole thing that I don't remember hearing about, you know.
Sure.
That was like, a couple years ago, someone came up with that term.
Yeah.
And now we're all rolling with it, but anyway.
All right,
we'll do another pod on that, and just that.
All right, a couple things before we get to our guest. October 28th, last night, I was at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Cap, you were there. It's fantastic.
Amazing show. I've never laughed that much in L.A.
It was the biggest laugher of all time. Also, Friday night, this Friday, I'm still in L.A. I'm in North Hollywood at the Ha Ha Cafe. Comedy Club. Get your tickets to that. Next week, I'm going to be in Mill Valley, October 31st. I'm going to be in San Francisco at the Setup on November 2nd and 3rd. Come to all those. Ints is an app, baby.
It is.
Yeah, I rolled right into it.
You rolled right in.
Ints is an app, up to 5-minute voice recordings. You can follow us, follow at Lost in America, follow Turner Sparks. We're Intsing all the time. We're doing live Ints shows here at the Ints Studios. Get it. Ints us in questions for the pod.
Ints us in reminders to remind me to Ints more, because you can tag us in the Ints.
True.
And I forget. I'm trying to promise listeners I'm going to Ints more. You listeners need to take some ownership. Ints us reminders. Be like, Cap, Turner, Ints me your thoughts on blah, blah, blah. We'll Ints you back immediately.
And we'll play you on the pod.
And we'll play you in the pod.
All right. That's fantastic. Should we get to Anthony DeVito?
Let's bring him in.
Come on in. All right, we're back with Anthony DeVito. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
We are on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we just had Caps wearing a save for the pod. I just got him this shirt for his birthday on Saturday night.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a little birthday, surprise birthday party.
Yeah, Caps' birthday. I got him a save for the pod t-shirt.
Happy birthday.
That's all we say to each other, like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Save for the pod.
Yeah.
Your podcast is a rad dude.
Yeah, rad dude cast.
The rad dude cast, uh-huh. As I was saying, it was the Late Show mentioned it.
Yeah, I know. Colbert said it. That was wild. I can't
believe
it.
He really enjoyed saying it.
I know. Yeah. They wanted, like, because they wanted the agents or whatever were like, oh, no, plug like a weekend date. Like, that'll be good for the club. And then, like Colbert, I don't know if it was him or CBS knowing him that much, like, intervened. And they were like, we think he'll really like saying
this
your podcast
hilarious.
More than anything. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess. You know, he dug kind of saying
he
that.
He was pumped.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I watched today was the Mark Curry.
Oh, my God.
With Mr. Cooper.
Jesus, man. Yeah.
That's the most amazing intro I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He was like, it's the rad. Dude. It's the dude. It's the.
He'll tell you about it.
This guy's funny.
Yeah. He was plastered that night.
That was on. Live at Gotham.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, Gotham Comedy Live, Access TV. Yeah, he was hammered, and he, the beginning, if you watch, like, it's probably impossible to find, but if you watch that whole show, and it was taped live then.
Okay.
So he comes on, he's like, you know, so basically you have to have, like, the timing 100% right because it's got to feed into commercial, whatever.
Okay.
So, like, he's about to end his set. He ends his set, like, a minute early, kind of. Like, I think he just runs out of material. And then, like, they give him, like, the wrap it up sign, and he's, like, looking, he's, like, squinting, and he's, like, wrap it up. They want me to wrap it up. And then he goes, global warming. It's happening, people. And then cut to commercial. That's
what?
How the show started. And then cut. And then, yeah, introduce me as the rad drive, rad dude. I don't know. He'll tell you about
it. He'll tell you.
As if I was going to, like, spend my first 30 seconds explaining a podcast
on
TV. Yeah.
When you're ready to do your, like, whatever set
you
have worked out.
Take off, you got to.
Yeah. I got to really plug it. And then, so afterwards, and, like, you know, this is like hanging with Mr. Cooper. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like,
you remember
I'm psyched
him?
To, you know.
Of course. Played in the Golden State Warriors.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm psyched to meet him. So afterwards, he's, like, hammered, and he's like, man, great. Set and I'm like, hey, thanks a lot, man. That's really nice of you. Means whatever. And he goes, man, you got to write a show. And I go, okay, sure, I'd love to write a show. He goes, no, you got to do a show. And I go, all right, man, I'd love to do a show. And then he goes, like Becker.
What?
Like Ted Danson.
Ted
Becker.
Danson.
Yeah, Ted Danson looked a lot alike.
The poster.
Yeah.
You
remind me of a young Ted.
Yeah. I just love that was like the first show that he jumped to.
And now you're working on the MSG Network. Mm. You're writing on the...
The People Talking Sports and other
People
stuff.
People Talking Sports.
Yeah, Sam Show.
So we have a quick story for you.
Oh, yeah?
Are you a Knicks fan?
I'm becoming more and more of a Knicks fan.
So it's on the MSG Network. So is it Knicks related, the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rangers?
Yeah.
Knicks and Rangers? Or you just
Not so much Rangers, just because Sam and I are
basketball
big hoops
guys.
Fans and not big
Who's
hockey
your team,
guys.
Or what was your team?
I mean, I grew up North Jersey. So, like, but
Nets.
When I grew up 90s North Jersey. So, like, the Nets stunk.
Yeah.
Right.
Until I was, like, in high school, college, when they got kid.
Right.
So there was, like.
The post Derek Coleman, Kenny Anderson
yes.
team.
Yes.
And the-
yeah. But, like, growing up, they stunk so bad, it was, like, hard to root for them.
Yeah.
So I just loved basketball. I was, like, just a huge fan, blanket fan. The Nets had, like, Armin Gilliam. And it was like, what am I going to, I'm a big hammer guy, you know?
Like, I remember when Barkley punched him. In the,
yeah. So it's like, I never really had like a strong allegiance to a team. But now, yeah, working for MSG, you know, obviously, I got to go Knicks, you know?
So at his 40th birthday on Saturday night.
You're 40.
I'm
look good for 40.
Yeah, well, because I'm actually still 39. I got about 8 days left. I got to accomplish a lot before I turn 40. We had the, it was a surprise party.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I still
gotcha.
And John Wallace showed up.
Are you kidding? Were you at Hooters?
No, it was John Wallace?
Opening night. They were going to watch it at Hooters with John Wallace.
Wait, when?
He'll just show up anywhere.
John Wallace, by the way, is like a friend of the show. He's like a great guy.
I know we're going to get him on.
He's
future
amazing.
Guest.
Yeah, he's like, I don't believe that at all. John Wallace is a down guy, for sure.
John Wallace, let's explain. He was
tell me everything.
He played at Syracuse.
I'm a huge Syracuse fan.
Okay, yeah. God, he was so good on those.
And
he carried us to the national title game.
Yes. And then he went to
one of my favorite players ever.
Got drafted by the Knicks. I was debating, I'm a Sacramento Kings fan.
Okay.
I was debating whether to tell him one of the biggest moments of my childhood was when the Kings passed on him.
Right.
And drafted Peja Stojakovic and all of Arco Arena booed.
Sure.
They wanted John Wallace.
Peja ended up maybe being
exactly
better.
That's
he was a great fit for the team, Peja, for sure. Yeah. John Wallace, great player in his own right, but Peja was such a fit for that team.
So they threw this surprise party for me, and there was first a surprise
that's
at the party.
Insane.
And then during the party, all of a sudden John Wallace just walks in, and it was like in this little coffee shop.
There's
in
like
my neighborhood.
25 people there.
Yeah. And I sort of vaguely knew there's like service that you can like hire random like celebrities. That...
Right.
And I had just been at the ACC tournament earlier this year.
That's nuts.
And he was there.
Yeah, he's
so
a
I'm
huge
like,
Syracuse guy.
That looks like John Wallace.
Yeah.
Like, why would he be here?
Uh-huh.
And the best was we
he's
chatted
everywhere.
With him.
He's there's like nine different John Wallace.
He said he was going to do the podcast, but it was sort of like when you're like talking to a stripper and she says she'll date you. Like, we paid.
Dude, he might.
He was paid to come to this party and talk to me. So, like,
I think he will. He gave me his number, and before he left, he was like, I'm serious. I want to do the podcast.
Yeah.
Did he very well might. I mean, he did a test episode for our show before it aired. Loved doing it. We had such a good time with him. And then he came back to do it again. I wasn't there. I was on the road. Sam he calls me the next day. He's like, I got like this unbelievable thing to
Sam
tell you.
Morrell,
Sam Morrell. Yeah. So Sam calls me and he's like, Wallace did the show again. Wallace, before he leaves, he goes, tell Anthony I miss him. And I was like, what? John Wallace said he misses me? And he's like, yeah, he apparently is like a big fan of the show. Like he's like a friend of the show. I'd consider him a friend in real life.
That's amazing.
he's such a cool dude. So wait, he was paid to be at the party?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm assuming
Oh, that's hilarious.
Our friend is an agent for broadcasters.
Okay.
And somehow, like, pulled a couple strings, or, like, got in touch somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And then I guess they worked out some deal.
So
you lived in Paris, is that right?
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about. That's what we wanted to bring you on.
Yeah, yeah.
When was that?
That was, I'm pretty sure, 7 to... like the fall of 2007 to like the winter or the spring of 2008.
So like almost, okay, like 8 months, 9 months.
Like 8 months. Yeah, something like that.
Were you doing comedy at that point?
No, I wasn't. That I had done comedy a little bit in Jersey before that, but just like one or two shows.
Yeah.
Like my buddy and I, we were in a sketch group. We would put on these sketch shows, but I hadn't really done a lot of stand-up.
Okay.
And then I had two of my friends from college were, I was an architect major, so... two of my friends, architects in college, their firms had offices in Paris. So they both went over there to work. And then at some point, I was just living at home in North Jersey.
Okay.
And then at some point, they were like, you can live with us. We'll just shave a couple, you know, 100 euros off the rent. You got to sleep on the floor, on a mat. And I was like, done.
Did you have a job you're quitting or just you're just like,
I quit. I was working at an architecture firm in North Jersey. It was like a family Italian run architecture firm.
Yeah.
And I, like, not
a
to mention
cover. No.
No. Yeah. It sounds like it. Yeah. Yeah. That's like a perfect cover. Yeah. And I was such a bad architect. Like I would get screamed at every day by a full family of Italian people that were all architects. They would like, they hated each other and they would take it all out on me. I was the only non-family member there.
Oh, right. My gosh.
And it was a nightmare and every day I dreaded it. So, yeah, so when they call, like, when my, you know, friends or whatever, like, come live with us, I was like, yeah, of course. So then I left that job, and then I moved to Paris with them.
It's amazing.
With no, yeah, like, it was...
You didn't go to work, you didn't work at all when you were there, though.
No, at first, I didn't. At first, I was just living it up in Paris. Like, I was like Hemingway.
Did Did you have some money up? Like, I can blow this?
Yes, because I was living at home for like a year. Yes, so I had like all, I had a bunch of money saved up. I was living at home for a year and a half. I had that awful like entry level architecture job.
Yeah,
and it like the pay wasn't unbelievable, but it was good enough. If you're living at home, great.
And it's like the Hemingway thing. I guess so much more romantic and acceptable to go to Europe and just like
do
sit
nothing.
In a coffee shop and write
yes.
or whatever.
Yeah,
but you did that in like if you just like I'm gonna go to New York today. And
yeah,
and be like your mom's like get a job.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I've had that theory forever. Yeah. Doing nothing in a foreign country, you're interesting.
Yeah, you're exactly. doing something. Yes. You're
a total loser.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like you bought a scarf. That's the like equivalent of taking like a course or something like that.
Right, that's a chapter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You really do feel like you're accomplishing things. Yeah. Like, you know,
it's like I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna go for a walk. And
yeah,
it's doing something.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You do that in North Jersey. People are like get back to the fucking architecture.
Yeah. Get in a car.
Lunch is over.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm there. I'm doing that whole thing. I'm not, you know, like. Yeah, I'm like early 20s. Like I was in this relationship in college. Girl broke my heart. So you know, I'm doing that whole thing, man. You know, the whole like I'm having a coffee. I'm eating whatever I'm eating. I'm wearing a scarf. I'm having a baguette. I'm reading things. You know, so then after. You know, I'm going into museums. I think I'm more thoughtful than I am.
Yeah.
I'm staring at stuff with glasses on, you know.
Music's playing. And
yeah, totally. Like, things are more interesting than they are on the surface to me somehow, you know. So then after, I'd say like a month probably of just living the life in Paris, just doing that, I was running out of money. Like, it was hemorrhaging. Because I was living well.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not cheap. Especially,
Paris and those years.
The currency exchange at that point was so bad for U.S. dollars that it was like, it was almost how Canada is now. So it was like, I was spending enough money just being there. And then on top of the exchange rate, I was just hemorrhaging money. So, like, I'd say, like, a month or so goes by, and I am, and I also have no purpose, too. I'm, like, trying to, I'm, like, I don't know, I didn't know, I wasn't doing comedy at the time.
Did you want
to
do architecture there?
I wasn't sure, no, okay. I definitely didn't want to do that. I definitely wanted just a break.
Yeah.
Because, like, that firm for a year and a half was killing me, and I just wanted to live my life. I wanted a break. I wasn't living at home anymore. I was single. So I just wanted to live whatever that was. And then... running out of money, and then I at some point, like, one of my roommates was like, hey, a friend of mine is working under the table as a bartender at this American university.
Yeah.
And they need someone, basically, they just need a guy bartender. They need to lift kegs. They need to do whatever those things are.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this
manly
is...
manly work.
Yeah. And that's the only time in my life also, too, that I've ever, like, been like, oh, you need a man around? Like, I'm the guy, you know? I go, and I started working under the table at this, like, university that pretty much has exchange students from, like, NYU, basically.
So it's all American. So you didn't even have to speak French.
No, I didn't have to speak any French.
Oh, it's like perfect.
Oh, it was perfect.
And you're around college chicks.
And I'm around college chicks, and I'm like 24, 25 at that point.
It's pretty much the perfect job.
Age.
Perfect. And I went to college for architecture, and like it's a very time consuming college.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Miami in Florida.
So did I.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I knew that.
What year?
I graduated 2005.
2004?
I graduated 2004.
Yeah, I honestly think that's why you look so familiar. I think I knew you in college to some degree.
Did you know Josh Arcurio?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, man.
Dude, that's
I
one of my
swear,
best friends.
Dude, I swear to God, when we first, like, when I
Shut
first
up.
At at Fairfield, when I saw you like months ago to do that gig, I was like, I know you. But then like you, because I even think I said that where I was like, I think I know you, and you were like, I don't know how. Like, I lived in China for 4 years or whatever you said.
Well, you know what it is? Most people from the Northeast think they know me from, like, camp. And I'm like, dude, I'm from Northern California.
Right.
So I've had that so many times, I just brush it off.
Yes.
Because, like, literally, I think I look like half the people on Earth.
So funny.
People say that all the time.
I was so convinced, and I, like, kind of remain that way, where because you said that, you live in Northern California, you live in China, and I was like, I don't know, man. Somehow I know you.
That's
like,
weird.
Yes, 100%. Wow. Of course I know Josh Arcurio. Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah, good guy.
Good architect?
Yeah. We probably went to a party together. Like, what were your other...
Wait, I had a ton of friends who were in your class, too. Nate Johnson, Hunter.
Hunter,
I wrote
the
paper.
Oh, my God.
Hunter was a maniac.
Hunter
and
was a maniac.
Omar? Remember Omar?
Oh, my God. Omar, I don't remember. I know Hunter. Like, Hunter was on my floor freshman year at Hecht.
Yeah, so Hunter, and I, he was like, Turner, we got to take, this is really deep, sorry.
Dude, yes, I can place you
like,
as Hunter's
taking
friend.
Over the campus.
Yeah.
From, like, the newspaper. Was, yeah. He wanted to turn the newspaper, like a college newspaper,
it's
into
true,
Vice
man.
Magazine.
Yeah, it's so true.
And he was like, motherfucker, we're doing coke. We're going to stay up all night and write this
the
paper.
The glory years of the
newspaper.
He
sent me, like, he wanted me to go to Cayocho 8th Street.
Yeah.
Prostitutes. That was the big story.
Yeah, Hunter was like on that shit.
Which I did, and then there was no story. First of all, they wouldn't talk to me. I almost got arrested. And then the school counselor was like, I'm not printing this.
Is that when
like,
you went
what?
To
the campus paper?
Yeah, there's nothing here. How could I do that? Dude, I remember once seeing...
It wasn't prostitution on campus. It was...
No, but he's like...
No, it was in the world. Like, yeah,
and he's like,
yeah,
what's your angle? I was like, I don't have one. Hunter just did a bunch of coke and told me to go interview him.
Yeah, my angle's I'm your friend. I don't know.
Is that like when you were writing about Highline? I went with you that time?
Yeah. I tried to do an expose on
Highline. Oh, really?
There was no expose. We're trying to interview people. I was like, with you. There's nobody talking.
Yeah, why would anybody be talking?
He's school paper here with a little.
Yeah, where was Hunter? Was from like North Carolina or something
exactly.
like that, right?
Yeah,
I remember there was one time I think I was walking. I just saw a movie at Sunset Place.
Yeah.
So and then like I went outside. Hunter was like doing a sit-in there for some reason.
He was like the one politically active person
really
on,
was.
On
Miami,
all of campus.
Yeah.
Miami
was like
it.
The most
no one else
more
gave a shit.
Yeah, nobody gave a shit.
University of Miami, like,
dude, nobody cared about
no
anything. Everyone was
Why
there to party,
care?
Go to football games, have a good time. Hunter was the only guy talking about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, exactly.
I felt like such a poser.
Way before.
Do you know what I mean? Because like Hunter was like, I know it was way before. But Hunter
way
was like,
before.
Hunter was like the guy like I had heard about in college. You know,
yes.
up all night, like
yeah, like the activist.
I specifically
like,
remember the night. Yeah, he was like, you know, like the bad guy in. Forrest Gump that steals Jenny away in the 60s and he's like
100%.
The asshole that's Hunter
there
were people like that at Syracuse but you'd be like be in the conversation with them and then you'd be like why am I doing this on a Friday or Saturday night I'm just gonna go to the party and just
right.
leave them there and they're gonna talk to whoever's still in the room
Hunter was
I'm 19 I'm horny I don't care about
someone
this.
Else is gonna solve this
he
I'm
was the
leave.
First person I ever knew who hated hipsters
right
in like 2003
didn't know what they were
and I was like what's a hipster
wow, this guy's on a pod. It's very,
he had this book like the hipster handbook and he's like see these people you're gonna hate them someday.
That's come out of the
so
future.
Crazy. Like yeah,
the
man.
Gambling handbook for Back to the Future.
Yeah, thank God that because I was. It's been bothering me.
Wow.
Because I was convinced, man.
Wait, so then you were in Miami.
Yeah.
And then you graduated and then hung out in New Jersey and then went to.
Yeah, so I was in Miami. Yeah.
So did you need to learn French at all while you were there?
No, I didn't know any French. I obnoxiously American. I'd walk around in like a giant sweatshirt, sweatpants, because I didn't have to know any.
Yeah.
I tried to. I took a class. I took a class with all these other French kids to try to learn the language. It didn't take though. I was like, I didn't have any
French
like
kids?
Impetus to.
Why
like,
did the French people need to learn?
I think they were just trying to get better, or maybe they were there for like other languages or whatever.
Oh, American French or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
I think they were just trying to improve their skills. And I knew nothing, and I didn't have enough of an impetus because I was working at under the table at an English-speaking bar
yeah,
like,
there was
all
no
day.
Need.
So there's really no need. I think if I like didn't have that job, I would have tried harder to learn French, but, you know.
And did you know you were only going to be there a short time?
Kind of. I mean, I didn't know how long I was going to be there, but then, like, the job was so fun. Just like you said, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't working a lot. I was more confident. Everyone was younger. There were all these girls.
Yeah.
And, like, all these girls for me is, like, four.
That's
you know.
But
if you can meet girls without learning the language, you're not going to learn the language. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you had to
learn. Yeah, that's a good point.
I had to learn Chinese.
That's what makes... Yeah.
Right.
Because, I moved to China in 2004.
Right.
And... I feel like all the attractive American girls go to France. No, no offense, because we have a lot of China listeners.
Sure.
Women who
Yeah.
But at that time, let's say
right, at that time,
China was not the cool, hot chick place to go.
Right.
And so you were either dating like local Chinese people or nothing.
Right.
That's it. There was no American girls there.
Right, and you had to learn the language.
You had
it,
to.
It makes
to
so
exist.
Much sense.
But I remember I went to France in like Paris like 2011 or 12 on a trip. And I remember just being like seeing like American women everywhere and all like wildly attractive. This has not happened.
American
women love Paris.
Exactly.
What'd you say?
American women love Paris. That's
It's like Italy or Paris are the top two. Like, I'm an American, but I want to be cultured, but I still want to be safe.
Italy, Paris, and Coachella.
And I want to bang hot guys.
Those are the big ones.
I want to bang hot guys. And so then they go there.
Yeah.
and they can maybe, yeah, they'll figure it out.
So that was so exciting because, yeah, there were all these, like, and, you know, whoever, I was the bartender. I was like, there was only one bar, barely a bar. It's just like coffee, beer, wine.
What part of Paris is in?
It's near the Eiffel Tower, whatever that arrondissement. Oh. It's like the 8th or 9th, I think, something like that.
Okay.
If it's not Champs-Élysées, I don't know it.
Yeah. what a snob.
That's
what
the only
French
street
snob.
I know. Is it Champs-Élysées?
Then no. So I was there, yeah, and like, so I was just, you know, I would just talk to these kids all day, and they thought I was like a hero, you know. So it's like,
oh, because you're a couple years older.
I'm a couple years older. I'm cool. Yeah. I'm like Hunter then, you know.
Yeah. You're talking about hipsters.
Yeah. Like, it's not right, man.
There's a bartender on campus.
Yeah, you're like, you gotta have a revolution.
Yeah.
You guys invented it. You know what this is.
So yeah, so I'm there, and it was great, man. I'm just like, yeah.
And what did you think? Did how French? What was the dynamic between French people and American people?
Right.
Were they like, Americans? Or were they like, you guys are great?
I think they kind of get a bad rap because, like, totally. As long as you don't come out of the gate screaming English at them, they're fine. Mm. So if, like, you just give it a shot, that's all they want. They just want you to give a shot, just, bonjour, like, whatever. And they know, the minute you start saying bonjour, they know you're not French. They know by your clothes. They know, like, even the way
Bonjour.
Americans walk.
Bonjour.
Like, there's subtleties.
You could look French.
I could.
You could pass for French.
I could pass for French. Yeah. But I think the French in particular, especially in Paris, they're so well-dressed.
Okay.
So it's like the minute I would walk up there with ill-fitting jeans or like a hoodie on, whatever, they'd kind of know that I wasn't French.
You're wearing shorts or something. You're really
in the way. Yeah. Sweatpants. You never see a pair of sweatpants
and, like,
there.
No baseball hats, right?
No baseball hats.
Yeah.
No, none of that. A lot of zippers on things.
Yeah, a lot of extra zippers.
All those things.
A lot of unnecessary zippers. So
that's one thing I noticed when I came back is the amount of baseball. Like, no one anywhere else wears baseball
hats. Yeah, but you're in New York. This is baseball hat light. When I go to Pennsylvania,
that's true.
When I'm in Pennsylvania, you go to a bar in New Jersey or Pennsylvania, when I'm home, I'm like jarred. A, the amount of shorts the guys wear out.
Right.
And then B, the amount of, like, baseball caps. Like, guys aren't on a date or on a baseball cap.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell is going on?
And that's always so funny, too. It's like a guy in a baseball hat and cargo shorts. Yeah. In, like, New York, people shit on that.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole rest of the country wears that.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, like everybody else. Yeah.
I feel like you, like, lost in Pennsylvania. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
If I was to go out there, right.
No, I mean,
deep America.
So, I'm in with the Paris. I like their fashion better.
Yeah, so they're super fashionable. So they kind of know right away. And then, like, the minute you start talking, they know right away. So then, but as long as you make an attempt, they're fine, and then they'll help you out. But if you come out of the gate screaming, like, where's the, and Americans were so loud.
And that's
something I didn't realize until I went over there.
Yeah.
Just the decibel level. Like,
we all have podcasts, and we're used to talking to the microphone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
talk loud.
Everyone has a podcast.
Yeah, there's, like, no Parisian podcast. Yeah,
so, hey,
I think it's not only the loudness, which is true. But it's like there's some weird level that we get to, a frequency that cuts through every other language.
Right.
I don't know how to describe it, but you can hear, like, some sorority girl, like, two blocks away being like, oh, my God, and it's, like, blast straight through.
Yes, there is that tone where it's just, like, it's like a confident loud.
Yes.
Which, like, you don't even think you have until you go over there, and then, like the French are, like, it's, like, they cower in a way because of the sheer volume of it. That's all. I really think it's that. So the minute you start, like, as long as you go through with it, they'll know, help you out, and they're fine. But if you come out screaming at them, they're going to be dicks, but anybody would be.
Yes.
Like, you're a dick in New York if someone just starts, like, screaming at you in another language.
In a foreign language.
Right.
100%.
So it's, like, I think they do get a bad rap for that.
They do. I've been in Paris 3 times, and I've never found them to be.
People were super nice.
Everyone's always like French or dicks.
I didn't find that at all either. No. I remember I was at a house party with some friends who were French. I was literally the only non-French person there.
Right.
It was like 40 people.
Yeah.
Anytime I would walk up to a conversation,
right,
they would all switch to English.
Yeah.
To, like, accommodate me.
They're very accommodating.
To the point where I had to be like, you guys don't have. I felt embarrassed.
Right.
I was
you guys,
relax.
Yeah.
Just keep doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about you, but we're gonna prove that we've stopped by saying English.
I just think in general they're from what I know. Notice they're very reserved sort of people. Like, when they're out, they're out, and that's great, you know, in terms of just, like, I guess, like, feeling comfortable enough to say whatever in a group. But they're more reserved in terms of, like, they're not gonna just, like, open with crazy things about sex. They're not just going to go, like, you know, scream at you about politics. They have to really know you first. So
I'm fine with both of those, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay with opening with crazy things about sex.
Oh, yeah,
depends
right.
on who's doing
the politics.
That's fun. So, like,
politics.
I think because, like, as Americans, like, we're very, like, everything's on the table right away.
Yeah.
For the most part.
We are.
So it's like they're just culturally not like that. So that creates a difference. And, you know, and then, like, I remember, too, like, my uncle was like, the French are assholes. He never left Jersey.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? So it's like a lot of that, too. But, yeah, they were – I loved watching them, too. They were just such interesting people. Like, they're like – I don't know. They're like sinewy birds, like, in the way that they move. And, yeah, I love them as, like, a case study.
French guys come into your bar to, like, be like, I'm going to hang out and meet some American girls at the spot. I'm just gonna...
No, they had to have, like, an ID.
Oh.
But, I mean, they would. They're
don't
very
– French, but, I mean, like, they were old, of age, but, I mean, just, like
There was the door guy at the bar, like at the university, who he was like an older guy, and his friends would sometimes drink there. And they probably, you know, God knows whatever they said in French about, like, you know, whoever from, you know, Virginia.
They must,
poor
I
young
what
girl.
They think of like dating Americans. You know what I mean?
They probably think it's great.
Is that a better move? Yeah, probably just because it's like exotic.
Yeah.
Because it's foreign.
I think so. I think they're probably very attracted to Americans in terms of like that freeness. You know, you know how like a girl who's like an artist and like, you know, unkempt, whatever, that, like she's attractive because you're like, oh, she's totally free.
Yeah.
I think like the average American French guy would look at her and be like, oh, she's so wild, you know,
because
you know, French women and French men are very much more conservative.
Except they all are having affairs, I thought.
Well, yeah, that is the thing. The menage a trois is like more commonplace than menage a trois, like a threesome. Yeah.
But just having like a mistress seems like very, like accepted in France. The prime minister.
Wait, does menage a trois mean a threesome or does it mean you have a mistress?
No, it's a threesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, there is that element that they're like just okay with.
So it's like the 60s forever.
Kind of, yeah. But you have to like you have to break down walls to get to the 60s.
Yeah,
they're not that up front.
Yeah, yeah, you have to achieve a certain level.
Yeah, they take a while to let you in, and then once you're in, it's like it's an even more
you're part of the club.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Sexual world, yeah, than normal. Yeah, yeah.
So then, did you when did you decide like okay, I gotta go?
Well, I did the first semester. Working, and then like there was a winter break at college, and I had like a 90-day I think like tourist visa.
Oh, okay.
So I had to leave the EU to keep working there. So like within that month, I went because what a lot of people would do is they would go to Morocco just because it was closest. By way of Spain.
Oh, that whole like get out and come back.
Yeah, so you can like I don't know if that like, you can still do that now, but like at that time, you as long as you did that, you were fine. So I did like a month. I think I did like a week in Spain, and then I did the rest of the time in Morocco, and then went back to Paris to work for the spring semester.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it was
Morocco.
Awesome. Morocco was great. It was, I mean, nothing I had.
It's different.
Yeah.
Oh, well, any woman in Morocco is going to have a very different opinion.
She came in here and railed for
a whole
hour.
Sure. Episode.
I 100% understand that. I mean, as a guy who like looks sort of Moroccan, who's a guy, it's gonna be a very different time. I mean, it was a place like I never, I never expected to be in any kind of environment like that.
I find it interesting that like these people could tell because I always thought because when I was living in China,
right,
I'm obviously not Chinese. I'm a white guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I always thought if you lived in like European countries, they wouldn't necessarily be able to know right away.
Right.
But if it goes off of what you're wearing or whatever, and they're just like,
There is like there's
you could tell if someone's a European. Like I mean, you can't usually tell if someone's like French or not. You don't know what country they're from until you hear the language.
Right.
But you can just look at a guy from Europe, like Roger Federer style look. You know, you're like,
right.
Like, it's like walking
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or English people look very. You're like, you know.
There's
know.
Subtleties, and like you don't really know them until you see them on someone else, and then you're like, oh, that's like a tell.
Yeah.
You
know? And Americans are full of. They're not even subtleties with Americans. I think it's just Americans.
Yeah, it's like you got a football jersey.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like.
What about Spain? What'd you do there? We went to Spain a long time ago.
Cool.
Together.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Spain, I was only there for a week. I was in Madrid for like a day, Barcelona for like 4 or 5 days. And then this town called Santiago de Compostela, which is this like religious town where I think a lot of, and I could be wrong, but I think Spanish Catholics like make a pilgrimage to this town because it's like the town is based on this just old church. And so it's sort of a historic city for them. And that was really cool because that was like a smaller town, Spain. So that was like Barcelona, you know, it was bigger. It's a lot to see. So it was kind of overwhelming. But then like Santiago de Compostela was cool because I was just like, I remember being in a bar until like 4 or 5 in the morning.
That's what I was going to ask. Is yeah. it what, that kind of small town?
Yeah, like, it was awesome. Like everyone's smoking joints. There's dogs. There's music. Like
wild dogs.
Yeah.
We went to this so bar. Fun.
We were in Valencia.
We were in Valencia.
Was, right.
There was nothing to do there.
5 in the morning, they were like, oh, it's free to get in.
Right.
But then we had to pay to get out.
Right, yeah.
It was $20 a
really?
Person to get out.
But it also
that's
should,
crazy.
Should
it was like a prison.
It was, oh, that, yeah, it was like, one of those, it's like one of those towns where it's like nothing going on during the day, it seems.
Right.
You walk around. And then it's like at night, you know, it's like,
yeah.
it's like
all these warehouse doors just open yeah. and they're like yeah. this huge dance clubs.
Yeah.
So we had to sneak out the back door so well, we didn't have to pay $20.
Well, we refused to pay and we decided to go out the emergency exit. And then we ran, and then we got locked in the emergency exit, basically.
Like, it wasn't an exit.
It was like
it was
a hallway.
A hall leading to a bolted
other
door.
Side of the door. It's too loud. Nobody hears
and it locked behind us.
Oh, my God.
And so we were stuck there for a
with
hour.
Like a homeless
or two.
Guy. It was
with
like
a homeless guy. We almost had to fight him.
Was that considered a white homeless guy based on our real.
Yeah, yeah it was.
That's
yeah.
like that. I think those are my most fun, like, those occurrences that happen just in terms of, like, I don't know. I think it does, for me at least, it has to do had to do with the language barrier, you
yeah.
know? So it's like, so I would have not, you know, I would have never ended up in that situation in the States because I would have known, like, I would have read whatever the hell,
right.
you know, I could.
You would have known, like, oh, this you have to pay to get out.
Yeah,
this place is
exactly.
a scam.
Right.
We didn't know.
Right, so you just don't know. So you end up in those situations. Like, there was the one time I remember, like, one of the first weeks I got there in Paris, I was doing my laundry, and there was this guy, and I'm just, like, watching it in the dryer. There's this guy, like, it seems like maybe he's, like, a homeless guy, some kind of wanderer. He's a shady character of sorts.
Yeah.
And he's, like, pointing at my laundry, and he's pointing to his head, and, like, there's underwear in there. And I'm, like, I'm, like, nervous, you know what I mean? I'm, like, I don't know French, so I'm just, like, what, you know, like, underwear, like, and I'm, like, yelling in a laundromat, and I'm, like, underwear? Your head? And it was, like, raining, so I was, like, does he want to wear my underwear on his head? And I'm, like, I don't know the custom, you know what I mean? Like, it was probably,
in some cultures,
exactly,
underwear.
And it was probably nothing, and it was probably not what he was asking, but I was, like, underwear, I'm, like, screaming at him, and he's, like, nodding, and I'm, like, okay, and then I open the hatch, I take out the underwear, and sure enough, he puts it on his head, and he just walks out.
Really?
And I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know to this day, like, what that interaction was about, if he was crazy, was it for utilitarian
I mean,
purposes?
He was kind of crazy.
Like, I think we have some French listeners. You guys write in. Tell us.
Yeah.
Us and let us know if that's a custom.
And I didn't want to be rude, so I didn't want to be like, well, I don't know if, like, you know, this is exactly.
It wards off evil spirits if you give
right.
this man
right.
underwear to wear.
Yeah. I don't want the ghost of Marie Antoinette yelling at me all night.
Yeah. So have you been back since coming back?
No, I've never been back. I'm honestly just haven't had the money to do it.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely be back soon. But I'm also, like, I get very nostalgic about places. Like, I remember even going back to Miami a little while after graduating
yeah.
and being kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Being like, oh, but none of my friends are still
yes.
here.
Yes, the place is still here. My friends aren't here. What does that mean existentially? And then falling into, like, a funk for however long I'm
That's
there.
That's another book.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
we'll see.
So you can do it. I can't.
It's been a while.
I can't get too upset.
Oh. So, you came back. What was it like coming back? Were you like, oh, crap, like, I don't have this, like, crazy life anymore?
Yeah, kind of. It was boring.
It was boring? Did you go back to New Jersey?
Yeah, where
I
New
went
Jersey?
Back, so I went from Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Okay.
So it's, like, Essex County. Soon after, I moved to New York. But even, like, I remember getting off the plane and even, like, going from, I think, LaGuardia or JFK back to my parents' place in North Jersey was the things I guess, like, I really noticed was, like, how young a country America is compared to, like, living in Paris. It's so old.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, there's so much there that there, I mean, that, like, even the apartment that we stayed in was, like, I don't know how old that was, but, like, America just seems so much, it seems so much newer compared to what I had been through.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. And it was just boring. It was so boring.
Did you have
boring.
A job right when you got right away?
No, I didn't have a job. I ended up working Habitat for Humanity.
I was going to say, they
yeah,
hire
actually,
you. That's not a bad way to do it, though.
No,
anybody,
it wasn't.
You can anybody, Habitat for Humanity, apparently.
Yeah, right. It wasn't a bad way to do it because it was still pretty loose. And it's still, I was, like, helping people. I was talking to people. So there
yeah.
was that, which was nice. And moving to New York helped because then it still seemed like, oh, I'm doing something new.
Right. And totally. Then it becomes like your Paris.
I came straight from China to New York.
Right.
And people, like American people, will be like, wow, it's such a crazy transition. I'm like, I think it's the least crazy.
Yeah.
Because I was living in big cities in China.
Totally.
If I was to move to like suburban America, that would be a crazy transition.
Yeah. There'd be no way. But yeah, moving, I mean, New York is an exciting city on its own. People come from all over the world to be here.
Yeah.
People don't do that to go to Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, to be there, I would have been like, yeah, I would have been in a standstill. But coming to New York was exciting enough on its own that it just felt like the ride was continuing.
It's awesome.
You've been here since?
Yeah, I've been here, I think, like 8 or 9 years, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get to the news.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Before we do that, do you have anything to promote? Anything?
No, I mean, buy my album, Dream Occupation, just came out on Comedy Central Records. And sweet. Yeah, that's really it.
Nice.
Thanks.
That's through your site?
Yeah, you can get it.
iTunes, whatever?
You can get it iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play. And then if you go to anthonydevitocomedy.com, it's all on my website.
There we go. All right, cool. Let's get to the news.
All right.
Story one today, it's from the New York Times.
Yeah.
An Italian dog owner who wanted paid leave off to care for one of her dogs offered her boss a simple explanation. They're my family, she says. It worked. In what a pet advocacy group called a groundbreaking decision, the woman's employer changed its mind and gave the woman leave to care for her sick 12-year-old English settler. Cap, what do you think?
Well, she was sick.
Should you get... The dog was sick, so the lady got time off to care for her dog.
See, that's a. At first, I thought it was like because the dog was a puppy, and I was like, I don't think people understand. Like,
no, her claim was that
the reason why there's maternity leave is not because you have a baby.
The dog is part of her family. She is claiming,
right?
And so then, if like your kids are sick, you should get time off too. So the dog is her kid, and this is actually in Italy. It sounds very American.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If it can fly in Italy, I feel like it could fly here.
I mean, I am a parent, but I'm also a dog owner, so
right.
I'm kind of on both sides. Like, I support everyone getting off from work as much as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
My landlord won't let us have a dog.
Uh-huh.
So that's discrimination.
I would say this is like not letting your kid live with you. If we get this law to like blanket America, we can at least sue. Because like America's all about suing. It's not about like actually getting what you want. It's just like suing when you don't.
Right. Just get some kind of settlement.
So I don't want a dog.
Right.
My wife does.
There's a reason to get off from work, though. Well, you don't have a job.
No, I don't want a dog. I just want to sue my landlord and get some money. The perfect scenario for me is to win the lawsuit, but by that time, like, we move into another apartment or something.
Yeah.
I've had kids, right? So, like, we don't really have, like, there's no paternity policy. It's only, like, maternity.
Is that it?
Well, I made up. I told people I work with. I don't think they listen, so I'll tell them.
No one listens.
I told them that we had a paternity policy. We had a week off, and you're not allowed by law to call me. And they listened. Nobody called me.
Really?
That's definitely not
you just made that up?
I made that up, yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
But I think with maternity, that is the policy. They have to give you 12 weeks if your company's big enough. And in Europe, it's obviously
not
way better.
Sick.
In Italy, it's
not
probably, like, 2 years
sick.
Or something. No, no, it's when you have a baby. Right.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, so if now I'm going to get a dog now because if it has puppies, boom, 12 weeks.
Oh, dog puppies, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the policies are with your child is sick, though. Like, usually a nice employer would let you take off, but, like, yeah.
If your child is sick.
The child is sick, but, like,
well, in Italy, you can do whatever you want. I don't know about France, what it was like over there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, really.
It's a weird story, right?
Yeah, I really don't.
It's hard to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Do you have a dog?
I don't have a dog. I like the idea of getting paid leave.
Yes.
It seems silly initially, but yeah, I mean, I guess if you don't have a kid, I think, okay, maybe, I mean, this maybe sounds crazy, but if the woman is barren, and she can't have a kid. She's been rejected by adopting services.
Yes.
This has to be her kid.
Yeah.
Then fine.
Right.
That's
then I'm
point.
Okay
right.
with it.
And it's you're adopting a dog.
Right.
So
it's like,
if it's an adopted dog.
If it's an adopted dog and this is your only option at a kid, then you should be allowed paid leave.
Because right. otherwise you're going on that, like, the whole thing with take your service dog. Like, this
yeah,
is slippery slope.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, you know, a child, I don't think a child, every moment you spend with them, especially if they're sick,
yes,
it's, like, precious and, like, it's good for, like, it's something. But, like, a dog, as much as I love my dog, like, they're not going to notice if you're not there for 8 hours a day. They're just going to be sleeping.
My wife is a dog walker right now. And, yeah, the people are gone for, like, weeks at a time.
Right, yeah.
You can't do that with a kid.
You can't do that with a kid. No one babysits for like a whole month.
I mean, and not only babysits, but comes by once a day for 30 minutes.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, getting a dog is great practice for having children, as far as you have to be responsible. Yeah.
Right.
But it's like totally, like, it's not, yeah, exactly. You can't just be like, all right, let's go for dinner. Dog.
Right.
You know, it's not so.
It's not the exact same. It's just
so
some.
You really
measures.
Have to pretend the dog's like a, the people. Those crazy people who take your dog everywhere with them,
right,
are actually doing a better job preparing for children one day.
Right. That makes sense.
All right. Next story, from CBS News, Kaplan.
Uh-huh.
Halloween store removes Anne Frank costume after complaints.
Wow, I didn't know there was an Anne Frank costume.
Wait. Apparently the big hit this year.
What? Is this in America? Where is this?
To be Anne Frank. Yeah, this is in the United States of America.
Walmart. I had no idea there was an Anne Frank costume. This is what news.
How is where, like, that's such a deep cut. Like, what are you dressing as?
Screenshots of the costume for sale at HalloweenCostumes.com posted to social media show a girl smiling wearing a World War
smiling.
II era.
Yeah. I'm offended by that.
Yeah.
And a beret. So,
what?
It says she's wearing World War II era clothing. And
is it Anne Frank or sexy Anne Frank?
Sexy Anne Frank.
First of all, two things. How do kids even know that Anne Frank exists?
Yeah.
Like, with this idea that millennials know nothing, whatever the generation below them seems to know everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's insane.
It's a great, if you're a girl who wants to go out for Halloween but not do this, like, wants to keep guys from hitting on you,
right.
Nothing would keep
that is true.
A guy from hitting on you, at least, like, if single me would say, then an Anne Frank costume would really turn.
Yeah,
me
I can't like, think I of mean, anything more of a deterrent than.
I mean, maybe like for the alt right guys.
It's
I don't
like,
know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah.
Spencer will hook up with you.
It's like the guys who like they have a really hot girlfriend and they're like they're oh like sexy trash bag. That's a good costume.
Because sexy nun is one thing because you're like oh it's like different, but like. And Anne
it's
Frank,
always weird when it's sexy specific. Yeah. Sexy nun is fine. Sexy Anne Frank is strange.
That's very strange. Especially anybody who I think it's a rule. Anybody who's a genocide victim. Not a good Halloween costume. Is that a rule? Fair rule?
I would say, It says, well, what they call it, so they sell it at Walmart.com as well.
Wow.
And they call it, it's labeled a World War II girl costume or World War II evacuee costume.
I mean,
whoa,
come on.
Getting more offensive.
She didn't evacuate.
Yeah, she didn't evacuate. I mean, that's just rewriting history.
Wait, that makes it sound like there was a hurricane.
Yeah.
an evacuation warning.
There
was
an evacuation. There was an evacuation.
She in Key West.
Yeah.
She didn't get out. We had to send first responders in. Can you believe it?
I mean, that is like a Hitler costume that's like a World War II a dictator outfit. Like, it's like, it's
a
ridiculous.
Warrior costume or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Military outfit.
Yeah. That is absurd.
Nazi costume.
Yeah, I might dress as Goebbels.
On one hand, I was like, the first half of this article, you give like American kid like tons of credit. Everyone's like, wow, kids know Anne Frank. But then later on, they have to say this three paragraphs in. Anne Frank is known for the diary she wrote while hiding. They have to explain how Anne Frank
is
hiding from the Nazis in an attic.
I love that a kid would just like the costume without knowing Anne Frank.
Yeah, like,
I've always wanted to be in a World War II evacuee.
I mean, like, even if you're really into history, I mean, I just don't think that would be.
Well, and if you don't know who Anne Frank is, it makes even less sense. Because
either way, if you know who she is, why would you want to dress up as her Halloween?
Right.
Kids want to be like army guys, not like evacuees.
Yeah.
I mean, Teddy's being an astronaut.
Oh,
he's not dressing as like the Challenger astronauts.
Right, yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Exploded astronaut.
Yeah.
He was an evacuee.
Yeah.
He was an astronaut.
Yeah.
This is my 5-year-old.
This is my 5-year-old.
Right,
son.
No, I got
it. By the way, spoiler alert, but I ordered an astronaut costume for myself as well because he really wants me to be an astronaut.
Oh, yeah,
so,
of course. You got to do that.
So I'm, I should have ordered. I should have.
You should be
Anne
Frank.
I should have been Otto. Anne Frank's dad.
That is unbelievable.
All right, last story.
Ruby could be Anne Frank.
Yeah, your daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah, there you go.
Forget Elsa from Frozen.
Go on. Be the Challenger.
That's so funny. A whole family of Anne Franks. It's just
the
like
Frank
Eddie Murphy and the Nutty Professor.
What's the mom's name?
The Franks.
Oh, the Franks. That's ridiculous.
All right, now we've got a good idea. Let's
write
that down.
It's not too late. Boy Scout, last story, Boy Scouts of America to allow girls in some programs beginning next year as part of a historic change. I'm for this. I was a Boy Scout.
I know you were a Boy Scout. You were obviously.
All the way up to Eagle Scout. Everyone else is against this, but here's the thing. If you want to teach boys how to be men, the first thing they need to know is like be around girls.
How to talk to girls.
Right, yes.
What are you going to do?
100%.
I went to an all-boys high school, and I was, I would say, stunted when I got to University of Miami because there's an overload of hot chicks.
Yeah,
There's none in my high school.
I can tell you,
school.
I was pretty stunted. I went to a co-ed high school, and I was still stunted from college.
Yeah, well, that's you.
Because they didn't look the same. But
yeah,
Syracuse girls in Pennsylvania. But it's a great point you make because I always make fun of the Boy Scouts. Like, I was not a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what you do. I'm very I always think it's like a big Gentile.
I was going to say it's a little more Gentile.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know my wife's boss, I think I'm allowed to say this, he's a big Boy Scout leader. I know he's very upset by this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's upset.
He's upset. But to me, like, it's a better, it's a good recruiting tool because, like, I always think, like, you hear these stories, like, what you say, Sandusky type things, and you know, it's a little too creepy. The guys are too into the Boy Scouts, and like if there was girls involved, then it's more normal.
Well, the other thing, if you have like a camping merit badge, like takes on a whole new meaning. Like, hey, let's go camping.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. I do. I think it's great. Integrate them early, exactly, so you know how to talk to each other, and 100%.
But are the Girl Scouts? Is that related to, that's the Boy Scouts, obviously. That's the other end of this. So they,
well, so yeah.
Girl Scouts are called
they
brownies, to, or are they still
do
brownies?
Do they have like the little girls?
Because
oh, okay.
Who gets to sell the cookies?
That's if they, like the Cub
are they merging
Scouts.
Okay, the Girl gotcha. Scouts and the Boy Scouts, or the Girl Scouts still got their own thing?
No. That's so if you problems. Keep reading, the number one uh-huh. group against this, Girl Scouts of America.
Whoa.
Right. I get that.
They're yeah. against it because the Girl Scouts of the USA criticized the initiative, suggesting that the Boy Scouts' move was driven partially by financial problems and they need to boost revenue by bringing in girls.
Well, they've never sold Thin Mints. The Girl Scouts got the Thin Mints, so that's a huge financial revenue driver.
That's
well, if
true.
We can bring Thin Mints into the Boy Scouts,
yeah,
I'm
that'd
even
be
more
huge.
For
what
that'd
if
be
boys
huge.
Can sell them for the boys sell them for cheaper.
Culturally appropriate their Thin Mints.
Yeah. Yeah, what a move. What a power play the Girl Scouts have with these shortbread cookies.
Do they sell anything, Boy Scouts? Like, how do they raise money?
No, not that I...
Not that I know of, yeah.
Because these Girl Scouts these days, they go, at least in New York City, they come with their mom to the door, and they, like, or the moms go for the kids, or the moms go to their work.
Right.
And they're like, hey, can you give money? And they, there's no work put in anymore. These kids don't have to go door to door and do any social skills.
Oh, well.
So I'm saying they've lost their opportunity to corner the market.
So it's their fault.
It's their fault. Putting the margarine. Putting it at your door, Girl Scouts.
All right.
You let this happen.
So we're for it. We're against the Girl Scouts of America.
<We're against> the
of you can't be on both sides. Issue.
I've always been for the boys.
Pick a side. All middle. All right, that's it. That's the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for doing it, Andy.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. This is great, too.
That was a blast.
Yeah, make
sure to watch your show.
People Talking Sports and other stuff. First episode this Tuesday at 10:30.
Oh,
on
Amazon
Network for you, those in New York.
And look for John Wallace on there, maybe.
Yeah,
John
he'll be
Wallace,
on there
friend
for
of the pod.
Sure.
So if you don't want to watch the Knicks, you know, you can just tape the show.
Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely. I totally get now wanting to watch the Knicks this year. But yeah, watch our show. Thanks.
All right, that's all. Cap, what should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost.
Je t'ai dit n'importe quoi, il suffisait de te parler pour t'apprivoiser. Aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Tu m'as dit j'ai rendez-vous dans un sous-sol avec des fous qui vivent la guitare à la main du soir au matin. Alors je t'ai accompagné, on a chanté, on a dansé et l'on n'a même pas pensé à s'embrasser. Aux Champs-Élysées, aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Oh, Champs-Élysées.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.